Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Hey, happy Friday, readers and writers alike. Thank you for being here with me today, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Today is episode number 33, which coincidentally is also my age. And today, I could not be more excited for this. I am reading from the work of indie author superstar, Mr. Wayne Stinnett. I kid you not. I'm going to talk a bit about Wayne before I do the reading, but before I do, I just want to make a quick announcement, which is that I'm doing a release in a couple of days here on the 30th of October, book 3 in my Starship Fairfax series. It's kind of an action-adventure, campy military sci-fi, is coming out. And in conjunction with that, from October 29th until November 2nd, the first book, The Lunar Gambit, will be free on Amazon. So check that out. I'll have links in the show notes. If you're enjoying what you're hearing and sci-fi is your thing, I really appreciate your support. If it's not your thing, but you're still enjoying the show, maybe share it with someone whose thing it is. That would be really cool of you. And if not, no hard feelings. Please keep listening. Back on to Wayne Stinnett. Wayne, I'm going to begin by reading his Amazon author bio, as I always do. I'm so excited today, I just can't keep my thoughts straight. To subscribe to Wayne Stinnett's newsletter for updates, specials, and reading recommendations from the author, visit www.waynestinnett.com. Stinnett grew up on the central east coast of Florida in a small town called O'Galley. There, he and his brothers explored the beaches, the Indian River Lagoon, and swamps along the St. John's River, and all the streams and creeks that flowed into both. They explored on foot, or by John boat, sailboat, and canoe. At 16, he began exploring further outside of his hometown, and soon found that Long Island chain at the southernmost tip of Florida, commonly called the Keys. It was 1974, and a great time to explore. After graduating high school in 1977, Stinnett enlisted in the Marine Corps, which opened up a lot more exploration possibilities. He visited countries from Northern Europe to the Far East, but returned to Florida after 4 years. Spending a lot of his free time scuba diving, sailing, surfing, and fishing, he also began to write, creating a few fiction short stories in the early 80s. He also compiled an extensive list of beach dive spots while exploring the many shipwrecks along the Treasure Coast. After his second failed marriage, he bought a sailboat and lived aboard it in Boot Key Harbor in the Florida Keys. He also lived on Andros Island in the Bahamas and on Isla de Cozumel in Mexico for short periods, working as a dive master. Today, he lives in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, near a small town called Traveler's Rest. After working for 12 years as an over-the-road truck driver and writing in his free time in the back of the truck, he published his first novel, Fallen Palm, in 2013. Based on the short stories he wrote in the 80s. Married for the third time in 2001, the Stinnetts have 4 children, 4 grandchildren, 3 dogs, and a whole flock of parakeets. They grow a lot of their own food in a large garden behind their house. Stinnett still gets down to Florida every now and then, but more often than not, it's via his imagination and writing. All his books are set primarily in the Keys and involve a retired Marine by the name of Jesse McDermott, a charter boat captain who lives on a deserted island just north of Big Pine Key, where he explores, dives, and fishes the back country of Florida Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. That is, until trouble comes looking for him. You can also explore Stinnett's and Jesse's explorations and adventures on Facebook at Wayne Stinnett Author or at Wayne Stinnett _ on Twitter. All right, so there is Wayne's very generous Amazon author bio. Lots of personal information there. Wayne strikes me as the kind of guy who is not afraid to share of himself with his readers. He's another author that I first encountered, drumroll please, on K-boards. Surprise! Where he's kind of a bit of a legend, honestly. I'm still shocked that I'm featuring him on the show today. Because, well, he's very successful, and his story is just wildly inspiring. Think about this. He's driving a truck, over road trucking, right, for years. And while he's doing this, he's taking whatever bits of spare time he has to write stories and to begin to craft some of his stories into a novel. And then he starts putting his books on Amazon. And all of a sudden, Wayne Stinnett doesn't need to drive a truck anymore. If you want a taste of what this guy's professional life as a writer is like, I encourage you to go to YouTube, look up Wayne Stinnett. He's got a video called Freedom. In fact, I'm going to leave a link to that in the show notes as well. It's just very inspiring how he talks about the sort of financial freedom he's accomplished through his indie author and publishing career. He doesn't need to worry about the things that he worried about in the past, that so many things that you and I are worrying about all the time, because he has this stream of residual income. Man, it's inspiring. So I want to thank Wayne for letting me feature him on the show today and read from his work. Of course, as always, I'm going to have links to his website and his Amazon author page in the show notes. And as always, I want to remind everyone that the reading you are about to hear does not come from an official audiobook. It's simply my reading, produced and performed here with the author Wayne Stinnett's permission. I'm going to read from the first chapter of the first book, Fallen Out, in his series of stories here featuring McDermott. And if you go to his Amazon author page, you're going to see 12 titles, and they're all Jesse McDermott titles. Fallen Honor, Fallen Hunter, Fallen Tide, Fallen Pride, Fallen Angel, so on and so forth. Very good branding, by the way, Wayne. Not that you need me to tell you that, but the covers and the titles are just great. Wayne, my understanding is that Wayne has a little bit of a corner on the sea adventures market. So, if you're interested in indie writing and you don't know what you want to write yet, there are definitely readers in sea adventures, but you might have to try to topple a giant to get in front of them, because Wayne is the man. Anyway, I'm going to read just an excerpt from that first chapter. I'm not going to read the complete chapter. I'm only going to read what's available in the Look Inside sample on Amazon. This is what I always prefer to do. Very often a complete first chapter is in the Look Inside. But just for anyone curious, I only do this so that I don't run afoul of any exclusivity rules by Amazon or any of the other vendors or audiobook vendors, right? So you're going to hear today the first 9 or 10 pages or so from Fallen Out by Wayne Stinnett. I hope you enjoy it. Do come back next week. I'm going to be reading science fiction from indie author C. Gockel. It's going to be very exciting, very, very fun. And again, if you're interested in my own work, check it out this week, because the first book is going to be free. Woo! All right, thanks everybody. I'll see you next week. Fallen Out, a Jesse McDermott novel. Caribbean Adventure Series, Volume 1, by Wayne Stinnett. Chapter 1. Driving south on US 1 out of Homestead, I turned left onto Card Sound Road. I'd been driving since early morning, having spent the night in a cheap motel south of Jacksonville. Fighting my way through Miami traffic during an afternoon rainstorm had sapped what little patience I had left. Now that I was clear of that hellhole and about to enter the only tropical destination in the United States, I felt like celebrating. A blackened grouper sandwich at Alabama Jack's was in order. It had been far too long since last I enjoyed fresh seafood. I knew this wasn't going to be an easy transition. Yesterday morning, I was a Marine gunnery sergeant, a sniper instructor in charge of over 50 warriors. Today, I'm more or less an unemployed drifter with no real job skills. Unless you count shooting bad people from half a mile away a job skill. Regardless, I was excitedly looking forward to my new life as a civilian. I hadn't even bothered to shave this morning. I'd called an old friend, James Rusty Thurman, several weeks ago. Told him of my pending retirement, and asked what the job market was like in the Florida Keys. Rusty and I had served together early in my career, but he'd left the Corps after 4 years, when his wife died in childbirth. One of the few real conks left in the Keys, he'd taken over his dad's bar, enlarged it, and was planning to offer food in addition to cold beer and liquor. I'd been down there quite a few times over the ensuing years, and loved the laid-back lifestyle of the islanders. "Job market?" he'd asked. "Nobody in the Keys has a job, bro. We hustle. Just get your ass down here and we'll figure out what kind of hustle best suits you." Approaching the toll bridge, I pulled off the two-lane road into the parking lot of Alabama Jack's, killed the engine on the rental car, and headed inside. The place was nearly empty. It being a Wednesday, that was to be expected. What few people there were either bikers or fishermen. I sat down at a table overlooking the canal, where several pelicans looked up expectantly. "Cold beer, Captain?" a waitress asked, jarring me from my thoughts while looking out over the canal to the marsh beyond. I looked up at a pretty brunette in her mid-twenties with dark brown eyes and a ready smile. "Yeah," I said. "Red stripe and a blackened grouper sandwich." As she turned to put my order in, I wondered to myself why she'd called me Captain. A moment later, she brought my beer, condensation dripping down the sides of the bottle, and placed it on two napkins. "Fishing or diving?" she asked. "I'm sorry?" "You're a charter captain, right? The other waitress and I have a bet, whether you're a fishing or a dive boat captain." "How much is the bet?" I asked, thinking she might just have given me an idea. $10, she said, "and on a slow day like this, it'll probably be more than both our tips." I laughed and said, "Well, you both lose." "You're not a charter captain? We were both sure." "Fishing and diving," I lied. Maybe one day, though. I ate my lunch with enthusiasm. Growing up in Fort Myers, we always had fresh fish. My grandparents had raised me since I was 8 years old, and Pop was a first-rate fisherman. I'd forgotten how good fresh seafood could be, knowing that just a few hours earlier the fish was swimming around without a care in the world. I finished eating, paid my tab, included a generous tip, and got back in the rental car. I now had only 3 days to return it. That's how long I had to find something to drive. Back on the road, I paid the toll for the bridge and came to a complete stop at the top of the high arc. There wasn't any traffic either way, so I put the top down on the Mustang and stood up. Card Sound Bridge is very high, and from the top you can see for miles. On a clear day, you can actually see all the way across northern Key Largo to the ocean. Not today, though. It was overcast to the south, but to the northeast, I could see Biscayne Bay. I took a long, deep breath of sea air before continuing. For the next hour and a half, I drove through the upper and middle keys, the familiar islands and bridges rolling by as I chased the sun west. Pat brought me down here many times as a kid, and the drive was always something we both looked forward to. He and Mam passed away just a couple of years ago, within months of each other. I was overseas when she passed. Pop waited until I got home so we could spread her ashes on the Upper Peace River, another favorite place. I finally arrived in Marathon. It had changed a little since I was last here, but not a lot. I slowed as I passed the airport, not exactly sure where the driveway to Rusty's house was. As I was looking for it on the left, an old tank of a car parked at the Wooden Spoon restaurant caught my eye. It had a for sale sign taped inside the windshield. I braked hard, turned in, and parked next to it. It was an old international travelall that looked like it had seen a lot. I walked inside and asked who owned it. The waitress said it was the cook's and went to get him. A Jamaican man came out of the kitchen and said they were slow just now and took me outside to look closer. We haggled over the price and finally agreed on $800. "Do you know where the rusty anchor is?" I asked him. "Sure, man. Just a quarter mile down Useless One." I pulled out a roll of bills and handed him $100. "I'm staying with Rusty for a day or two. When you finish your shift, stop by and I'll give you the rest and a lift home. Bring the title." We shook hands, and I went on to Rusty's house. As I pulled into the crushed shell driveway and slowly drove under the canopy of overhanging oak, gumbo limbo, and casuarinas, I felt like I'd finally come home. I parked the car, put up the top and the windows, and grabbed my sea bag out of the trunk. After 20 years in the Corps, everything I owned still fit in a single sea bag. Well, except for two cleaned and pressed uniforms in a carrier. I'd had a lot more things a couple of times, but two divorces took care of those material possessions. I slung my sea bag over my left shoulder and walked toward the bar. It was mid-afternoon, but there were already a handful of pickups in the parking lot. I pulled open the door and stepped inside, waiting a moment for my eyes to adjust to the darker interior before walking over to the chair. There were five men sitting at the bar, and a couple of the tables, and all of them turned to look at me, appraising the new stranger. I'd walked into many bars like this all over the world. Places where working men gather after a hard day. Places where men sized one another up purely on physical characteristics. One by one, they all turned their eyes back to whatever they were looking at before I walked in. I walked over to the bar, dropped my sea bag at the end, and took the last stool. The bartender had her back to me, polishing the heavy mahogany top. When she turned around, I realized it was Rusty's daughter, Julie. I hadn't seen the girl in over 3 years. She was just an awkward 13-year-old then, all knobbly knees and way too tall for her age. She looked at me questioningly. "Can I get you something?" I grinned. "Yeah, Jules. You can tell that old jarhead in the back he's about to get his ass kicked." That put 10 eyes back on me in an instant, and more than one chair leg scraped the floor. Islanders are tight, and Rusty was one of them. I was an outsider, a mainlander. Suddenly, a glimmer of recognition lit her eyes. "Uncle Jesse!" She flew around the end of the bar and leaped into my arms. "Dad said you'd be coming, but he didn't know when." I set her back on her feet, pushed her back, and looked at her. She wasn't an awkward 13-year-old anymore. She was nearly a full-grown woman, though she'd just turned 17. "If it weren't for your having your mama's hair, I never would have recognized you, Jules." I stepped back. "Look at you. You're all grown up now. Can we lose the uncle thing, though? A beautiful young woman calling me that makes me feel like I should be playing shuffleboard in Miami, wearing condo commando garb." She blushed as the men in the bar went back to their conversations. "It's really good to see you again," she said as she went behind the bar. "Dad's out back, fixing up that old shack for our new cook. Want a beer before you go back there?" "Nice to see you again, too. Make it 4 red stripes. A new cook, you say?"
"Yeah, an old Jamaican man who just came to town. Dad's going to let him live in a shack as part of his pay."
She took a small cooler from under the bar, filled it with ice, added 6 bottles from the cooler, and handed it to me. "That storm will be on us in a few minutes. Y'all might want a couple of extras to ride it out." As I bent down to pick up my sea bag, she stopped me.
"Just leave it there, Unc. I mean, Jesse. I'll take it back to the house for you."
Then she turned to a young man sitting at the bar with 2 other men. He had long hair and a barely visible mustache.
"Watch the bar for me, Jimmy?"
"Sure thing, Julie," he replied with a smile. I walked through the bar and out the back door with the cooler. The storm front to the south was getting closer as I walked across the sloped backyard toward an old shack. Rusty's grandfather had once used it to make illegal rum during Prohibition. I could hear Rusty swearing at someone, or more like something. As I dropped onto the small porch of the shack,
The first fat drops of rain started hitting the ground around me and pinging on the tin roof. Rusty and I went through boot camp together at Paris Island in the spring of 79, riding the same bus together from Jacksonville. We were the only two in our platoon from Florida, so we became fast friends. Later, we served in the same units a couple of times, once at Camp Lejeune and again in Okinawa. We kept in touch by mail when we weren't stationed together. We were both 2 months from either going home or shipping over when his wife went into early labor and tragically died, giving birth to Julie. Rusty had almost 2 months of saved leave and used it to get out early. I shipped over. Julie stayed with his parents until he got home 3 days later, and it's been just the two of them ever since. It was a struggle, to say the least, a man raising a little girl alone. Letting the screen door slam, I said, "Sounds like you could use a cold beer there, devil dog." He turned around quickly, belying his stature. At just under 5'7", he tipped the scales at more than 300 pounds. "Jesse, you old wharf rat!" He crossed the room quickly and threw his arms around me, nearly lifting me off the floor. Rusty was always a hugger. "You should have called. I'd have picked you up at the airport." I rented a car and drove down from North Carolina. "Damn good to see you again, old friend."
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at benjamindouglasbooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.